Good. You all right there, Emily? Having a moment. Okay, today I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't really want you to have the same thought I did when I first saw it. It doesn't seem the most challenging topic. It doesn't seem that sexy, does it? And I'm sure you've heard it all before. But I just want to try and bring some fresh illumination and challenge us once again to just realise just how important it is to possess and to demonstrate and reveal the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So, thank you. How many people here are currently connected with Royal Holloway as a member of staff or a current student? You just stand up for a minute. Excellent. How many people have been connected to Royal Holloway as a past student or some connection? And everybody who I haven't mentioned, if you just stand up. I don't want you to feel out of it. Yeah, go Loughborough. Yeah. Any other universities you want to declare? We all know there's really only one university in the world.
The best.
The best. Anyway, just as you're standing, I just want to pray, declare, say some words of blessing over us. Lord, I thank you so much for the joy that is in this room, for the people here whose hearts are captivated by you, and just want to demonstrate something of what your love is. And just how much you care for those people that we care for. So even as we learn more about the fruit of the Spirit, I just pray it will be something that we take with us into Royal Holloway or wherever we go. And we just really demonstrate how great and how wonderful your love is. Amen. 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 You may take your seats. So the book of Galatians, if we can go to the next slide. Thanks, Catherine. I'm just going to read these verses. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. For you were called to freedom. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for selfishness, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. But I say, walk by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I really wanted to bring that little bit of context, because sometimes we just dive straight into Galatians, we pull out that little bit, and we concentrate on that. But the book of Galatians was referred to as the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. And Paul had to address some issues to that church in particular, because they'd been running well. They'd heard the good news. They'd received the good news of who Jesus was. And they were living in freedom. But then false teachers came in who wanted to bring them back to a place of being held subject to the law. So you had to really go in with a strong message and say, no, you've been set free. Stay free. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. And it was this small group of false teachers that were trying to draw people back. And I'd been thinking this week in connection with Royal Holloway that we, those of us that are behind the scenes that work in administration, we I think you do as well, don't you? Yeah, no, don't deny it. I've seen you do a great job, because I see you running around with cups and saucers and coffee and doing a fantastic job. And God wants you to commend you for that. It's real pleasure in what you do and how you demonstrate his love. And for anybody that works behind the scenes, you know, God's really pleased with us when we just do things that demonstrate to people just how much he cares. You know, in a simple act of preparing food or showing somebody to their new room, you know, it's all love, isn't it? Yeah?
Amen. It's all love. So we call it start of session in the trade. But I prefer what it's really called, which is welcome week, because it's the week when we actively demonstrate and welcome people to become part of the community at Royal Holloway. And for those of you that have come to the journey for the first time, for whatever reason you're here, we hope that we've been actively demonstrating how welcome we want to make you feel in joining us for this time. And so I love Welcome Week. It's crazy. It's chaotic. It's mad. It can be summed up in one word: student union on a Thursday night, club mission. Who's involved in that? I have never seen anything like that. I've been at Royal Holloway for 15 years and I've never been anywhere near the student union at any time other than in the daytime. And Aaron put out a cry for help to get some water and donuts down to the student union, so I volunteered my car. And I pulled up into Nightingale Shop. I've got to tell you, Nightingale Shop is where it's happening. Because when I pulled up, even before I got near the road, I could hear the music, I could hear the laughter, I could hear the hubbub of things going on, and I'm thinking, I'm glad I don't live here. As a student, it must be the apex of what's going on. It's like uber cool. So that was noisy. We got the stuff in the car, and then we went down to the SU, and I'd never heard a noise like that either. It was incredible. I mean, the buzz of the place. And just for those of you that are involved in Club Mission, again, demonstrating the love of God to your fellow students. You must have some crazy conversations. I mean, I have crazy conversations with people at work when they're sober. So I don't know what kind of conversations you're having when people perhaps had a little bit too much to drink or have been philosophizing and pondering, and the drinks added fuel to that. So I would love to hear some of those conversations sometime. So for me, it's all about, that's in Galatians, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I want you to hold that in the back of your mind as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Because somebody says that the fruit of the Spirit are the visible attributes of an authentic Christian life. It's quite powerful, isn't it? And that's challenging, because as we look at that, and as we realize that what we're reading about in Galatians, it's something that we should be consistently producing in our lives. There's a very real sense that those attributes, those fruit, should be manifest, should be visible. Now, Tom was talking about the journey, 10th party, and going on a boat. How many people have been on a proper big boat on a cruise? Yeah. I've never been on one, but it's the same on a plane, but on a boat particularly, they have something called a manifest, which is a document which registers everything that's on board the boat, whether it be people or cargo. And I just want to suggest to you that the fruit of the Spirit is God's manifest of what should be on board in us. It's quite challenging, isn't it? Am I carrying what's on board? Well, we know what's on board, Rachel, don't we now? Rachel's carrying 10 fruit of the Spirit. Odilon, was it? Yes. Anyway, there's a helpful synonym for the word attribute, if Catherine can bring up the next slide. What's happened there? Which one is it? Sorry about that. Carry on, as you were. Anyway, which is the thought of this hallmark, this stamp that we have. Who's got jewellery on them? I mean proper jewellery, gold or silver. If you take it off, if you look inside, what's on the inside of the ring? Don't read it out if it's got some really soppy message of love and undying, you know. What does it reveal? If it's not there. It's a hallmark we're looking for, dear. Yeah, a number, a picture. Yeah. Anyway, so she's not got anything on it, Diana. Sorry. Who's been given a gold ring that doesn't have any hallmark on it? You might want to have a word with whoever gave that to you later in the meeting. But really, it's just a stamp of authenticity. It demonstrates that what you've been given is the real thing, the real deal. And as I said, it's interesting that the words are read at the beginning, for the whole law is fulfilled in this statement, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. If you can go back to the Ryan Gosling. Yeah, everybody can go. Yeah, there you go. What film's that from? Yeah, never seen it. I've never watched it, honestly. Yeah. How many people have seen The Notebook? How many people?
Never,
yeah, never again. Okay.
Yes.
How many people think it's a great film? How many people are? Nah. Right. Okay. But this love that we're talking about isn't kind of Hollywood love. It's not sentimental. It's not even romantic. We're talking about God's love for us, and in the same way that He loves us. And there's something that I've experienced, and I found this kind of expression in my own life, that God's love is deeply and profoundly unorthodox. Because the world, really, when they demonstrate love in a kind of Hollywood or a movie, it's just loving people that are lovable, that have got something endearing about them, people that, you know, you can't help but love. God's love is a love that's deliberately and willfully engages in this. He hangs out with the troubled. He finds time to spend with the distressed and the marginalised and forgotten and the broken. And every time that we're, wherever we are, demonstrating God's love, that's what the fruit of the Spirit being outworked in us is, finding time to hang out with people that others won't. Who's done that recently? Yeah, thanks, Richard. I'm sure you have. You haven't even realised it. Yeah. So consider this quote from Martin Luther King. You can read it. We'll just go over here. Agape is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill toward all men. Theologians would say that it's the love of God operating in the human heart. Agape is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. When you rise to love on this level, you love all men, not because you like them, not because their ways appeal to you, but you love them because God loves them. It's powerful, isn't it? And might I suggest this morning that love isn't about feelings, it's about decisions. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling. How many people here have chosen to love when it's been costly or painful? Yeah? How many people continue to love even though it's difficult to love? Yeah? That's a demonstration of the kind of love that God loves us with and that He wants us to show in our doings with people. Joy. We'll put the next. Right, name the film. Anchorman, yeah. Now, you could probably guess over the years that we've come to understand that joy, and I might be bursting some bubbles here, but forgive me, this is in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, not general joy, but joy is something that we should be happy and exuberant all the time. How many people are happy and exuberant all the time? That's reassuring in some respects. This is not a Pharrell Williams thing. I mean, I love that happy song. It's great. It makes me feel good. But we're talking about something here that's much more substantial and significant. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit joy finds expression in living in a constant and stable atmosphere in every circumstance or situation that you find yourself in. Even if you feel like your world's completely falling apart. Because it's there that you really begin to understand what it means when God says that my joy is your strength. So it's a much more profound and deep joy. Yeah. We can have fantastic times of feeling happy and alive and exuberant in God, in His presence. But there's something beautiful about finding that kind of joy when it's not going right. When the things that you've been hoping for haven't come to pass. When there's been health issues. When there's been difficulties in the family. When things haven't been going great in the workplace or at uni. God can still promise and deliver his joy to those situations. If we go to the next slide. Peace. This is something that's been really special to my own heart for a while. In Philippians it says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I'll explain what this illustration is in a minute. Some of you might already know what this is, the Japanese bowl. But the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is this, and I think this is a great understanding, is that the very essence of that is things that have previously been disturbed or separated or shattered could be joined together again into wholeness. So no matter what or who currently is breaking or shattering or disturbing or separating your peace, in the Holy Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, all things can be brought together to whole, into a sense of being in God. If you look at that bowl, if we could put up this quote from Barbara Bloom, that object I've just showed you. So when the Japanese mend broken objects, they aggrandize the damage by filling the cracks with gold. They believe that when something suffered damage, it has a history and becomes more beautiful. Anybody suffered damage, brokenness, pain? I mean, I'm going to put my hand up. But in the same way God does that, you know, he brings gold into those situations. So even the things that have been broken and have hurt, somewhere there's somebody that needs to hear that story. And I love stories. I love when people come and testify at the front. And sometimes it's right to come out here and share deeply painful stories and experiences of what we've been through. But other times there's an opportunity when God brings somebody into your life that you need to tell them your story because it makes sense to their situation. Yeah? So don't be ashamed of your brokenness or the thing that's hurt you or the thing that's caused you to feel shattered into 1,000 broken pieces, because God's taken all that and he puts it all together and he fuses it with gold so that that thing no longer is a thing of shame but a thing of beauty. Amen? It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yeah. So if we move on to the fourth fruit of the Spirit, patience. Sorry for any mouse lovers in the room. How many people struggle with patience? You know, how many people are thinking, I can't wait to have lunch at this moment? Now, in many respects, you could link the three of the things that we've just looked at together, which is joy, peace, and patience. And again, it's the fruit of the Spirit, the definition, the understanding is much more profound than what we would think about patience. This is a quote. It says, "Patience is to endure discomfort, hardship, difficulty without complaint or murmuring. To have the ability to wait over an extended period of time for something to come about, something to happen, such as waiting for a promise to be fulfilled." Now, for those of us that aren't British, you need to know that the British do like a good complaint. Is that true? Yeah. True word, yeah? And we like to complain about anything and everything. And sometimes we think that the Lord's trying us in our patience. But in that context, it's something much more profound. Much more. And unfortunately, the journey of patience, God's building one thing into our lives. And we can go to the next slide. It's character. Who knows Calvin and Hobbes? Yeah? I don't know if you can read that. I'll just play it out for you.
So Calvin's at the dinner table and he's with his father and he's looking at his breakfast and he says, "What's this disgusting slimy blob?" And his dad says, "Try it, you'll love it." "Oh yeah, well what if I don't love it?" "Then it will build character." And it finishes the final slide. "That's my dad, always looking out for me."
Do you know that you've got a Heavenly Father that's always looking out for you? And some of the things that we struggle with or finding that we're dealing in patience and can't understand why he's exposing us to these things is that he's looking out for us. He's demonstrating the opportunity to build something in us. If we could look at the verses from Romans 5. "But we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit he has given us." God's building us up in character. Who here is hoping for something? Who's patiently waiting for something, hoping for something? And I'm not just talking about, you know, when's the postman going to come with my Amazon parcel? You know, I've ordered something online. Who's really saying, "Lord, you know, I need you to come through on this"? I'm going to pray for you, so that's why I'm asking. So if you want to put your hand up, I just want to quickly pray. Yeah? And let's just pray for these people as we do it. Lord, we've all experienced and understood that pain that comes with waiting and waiting and waiting for you to bring something to pass that will so meet the desire of our hearts. So for everyone in this room who's waiting patiently and crying out to you and just struggling in some respects and trying to come to terms with why you would allow this, that Father, you would come through and you would deliver on your promises because he who promised is faithful. So, Father, we look forward to testimonies and stories of how you've come through and delivered and brought hope and brought an end to a patient waiting for something in your name. Amen. Amen. We go to the next slide. Thanks, Catherine. You ever done that? Random act of kindness? Ever been exposed to one? Wow, there's an opportunity. Who's never been exposed to a random act of kindness? Right, there you go, that's your challenge for the week. You've been treated to a random act of kindness. Does everybody know what that means? Put your hand up if you know the concept of a random... Excellent. Put your hand up if you've never been exposed to one. It's fantastic, isn't it? There's a great opportunity there. So, take the concept... This week, I'm talking to myself and put it into practice. So nobody in this room has put their hand up that they've been exposed to a random act of kindness. And everybody knows the concept. And this one, kindness and goodness, I've lumped them together because this for me is one of the most practical expressions of outworking something of God's fruit in our life. And one of the great opportunities we have is to extend hospitality. And one of the most mysterious and beautiful scriptures is this in Hebrews 13:2. Wrap your head around this. "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing." That's amazing, isn't it? And I still don't fully understand that, but I just think it's a beautiful expression of why we should be hospitable. True story, used to live in Chertsey. That's not the big reveal. But we were at home and Denise had gone out. Kelly and Cade were younger then. And I'd been thinking about this very thing about hospitality. I'd also been thinking about when Jesus said, you know, when I was a stranger, you visited me. When I was in prison, when I needed clothes, when I needed food, you came to me. And that had really been touching my heart in a big way. And I was just sitting in my house and I think I was just reading or watching TV, which is more probable than reading, if I'm being honest. And then there was a knock at the door. And this young black lady was at the door. And she simply said to me, "Oh, it's too powerful." She said, "Can I have a glass of water?" mad, isn't it? And I know that I entertained an angel. It's powerful, isn't it? Just out of nowhere, while I was meditating on that whole thing, knocking the door, can I have a glass of water? And to me, straight away, she was Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing less. So I just gave her a glass of water. She drank it in front of me. She said, thank you so much, and went away. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And that's why I included that very first bit with the fruit of the Spirit. Love your neighbour as yourself. Because we really need to get that we need to love our neighbour. And I look around today, and I know some or most of you, and I know that you really get that, that you really get how important hospitality is. Because our Western view of hospitality is so different to the Eastern view. Because most of us, it's about what we can get rather than what we can give. We express something beautiful about God's love by being open-handed and open-hearted, especially to those that we scarcely know. And this kind of hope is an act of devoted service. If we can go to the next slide, thanks, Catherine, just for this quote. And I love this quote from Henry Nouwen. He said, hospitality means primarily the creation of space where the stranger can enter and become a friend. Hospitality is not designed to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom undisturbed by dividing lines. It's a wonderful quote, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful quote. When you're in club mission, whether you're a student, the Christian Union at Royal Holloway, and you're inviting people into your atmosphere, into your environment, please let it be with the purpose of not trying to change them, but giving them the opportunity to see the change in you. Amen? I'll say that again. Use those times not to try and change people, to go in all heavy, but simply demonstrate and let them see the change that's taking place in you. You know, I can see, because I've been with some people here on the journey for some years, and I've seen the change that's taken place. I've seen God working in people and demonstrating his goodness and his kindness. So not long to go. If we go on to the next slide, thanks, Catherine. Faithfulness and gentleness. And that, I like that little quote. It says, truly great friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget. Gentleness is evidenced by those people who walk with us. You know, the best friends I've had have been those people who brought something of their own experience in their depth of what they've gone through and haven't been closed up about it. They've been vulnerable about what they've gone through. They've been themselves with me. And for me, I think there's something really important in this, that you need to look for that kind of friend and you need to stick with them. There's something really special about having a friend who's always reminding you of what your identity is. That's why I just went for that slide, because it's got the identity tag on it. How many people here have got good friends that are always reminding what or who your identity is in? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, who's always reminding you of the good stuff? Who's always reminding of the good stuff that you've done before and the good stuff that you've got to look forward to? How many here have got friends like that? Yeah? Fantastic. And finally, last but not least, self-control. Anybody nailed it? Woo! Still working on it, I'm afraid. And I think, you know, I could devote a whole talk to self-control just based on my own experiences. But I don't want to do that in a kind of negative way. But I just wanted to finish with this thought in the context of one thing, and that's accountability. Now, the areas of self-control where I've been most helped in my own life have been by making myself accountable to somebody. And that, I know that's difficult. How many people here have got somebody that they would consider themselves to be accountable to? Yeah. Somebody that they can go to, you know, when they're really struggling with stuff. And I'm not just talking about obvious stuff, they really need somebody to go and say, I need to pour myself out to this person. Now, I love that we have small groups in the journey. And I love that our small groups are a place of vulnerability and transparency and places where we can be real. But I genuinely make a plea this morning that we really need to have at least one or two people that we're very accountable to help us in our times of brokenness, in times of need, in times of perhaps open up to talk about desires and appetites that we're struggling with. Just one person. Because, I mean, I've learned at my own cost that if you don't have that accountability, then you could end up in that place of completely being broken and having your world shattered. Because there's something about living in a community that if it isn't vulnerable and transparent, people can come in and go without being touched by one another. And I know the journey isn't that kind of place, whether it's here on a Sunday or whether we do life outside of this place. There's always opportunity to be accountable with one another. So that self-control thing, it's not just in areas that we might struggle with, you know. It's just about helping keep us in a place where we know that God's going to be at the centre of our life. And he doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He never has. It says God has put the lonely in family. Who feels like this is family this morning? You know, this is a family environment. It's a place where we can come together and be together. So what's on board? Remember, apart from Rachel, we know again what Rachel's got on board. But in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, if you were to write down your manifest, what's on board? That's just a challenge to press into God this week or the remaining month, to press in with whoever you're close to. You know, if you have a small group or a group of friends where you want to talk about that further, I encourage you to do that. Pray for one another that you might discover more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, what is on board? So I'll leave you with this. Inevitably, it starts with love and it finishes with love. And it is. Everything that we do is about love. And I just wanted to share this because Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, my own father passed away about 3 years ago. And I'm the eldest of six boys. So I was the one that had to go up and say some stuff at his funeral. It's not an easy thing to do. And you can see sometimes that when I'm in a moment where I really feel that something's, it catches me, so I can get emotional. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is going to be tough. So I got up and I thought, what can I share about my dad that's not just going to be meaningful to the family, but to those that don't know him? And it's the same with Jesus. You know, what am I going to share this week? It's not just going to be meaningful. You know, I'm sharing this to a lot of people here that already know Jesus. I'm hoping that it's meaningful, but there'll be times in your week when you'll be going and being stretched beyond yourself to think, what can I share that's going to be meaningful to these people that don't know Jesus? That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Yeah. So I shared this story that my dad was a lorry driver. That's what he'd done all his life. He loved the open road. I wouldn't say he didn't like people, but he couldn't work in an environment where there was a kind of work which was normal, you know, meeting with people day to day. He just liked to get in his lorry, go off to Liverpool, Birmingham, Manchester, all over the UK. But his task in the winter time And the one thing that he always did is that we had a lovely coal fire. He used to live in a small mining village in the Midlands. And he'd always get that set up before he went to work so that we could all come down and enjoy what he provided. And that was meaningful to me because it was a special memory of what he'd done for me and my family. But it was also meaningful to other people. I could see people that hardly knew him, you know, sitting there being touched by that. And it really made me think that so often people can see what you do. No, I forget your name. Who's the young lady there? Emily. You know, I see you a lot at work, and you probably see me wandering around. And I know what you do, but you're probably thinking, what does he do, you know? And we won't go into that. But people look, and they often ask the question, what do you do? And I begin to realize, and I leave you with this, that what's more important is that I want to see people, I want people to know and see not only what I do, but why I do it. Now, my dad got up to put the fire on for us because he wanted us to have a nice, hot fire when we came down. It was birthed and it was outworked in a real heart of love for his children. And most of what I do is birthed out of a deep love for God and who he is and what he's done for me. So this week, I just encourage you to demonstrate not just what you do, but why you do it. And think about what you do and why you do it. And enjoy it more. Yeah. So some people here that are going to go back to workplaces or situations where it's not exactly comfortable or it's not the best thing in the world, and you might want to be doing something else. So I just want us to stand, and I just want to pray as we finish, yeah? And if you're comfortable and you know one another, you might want to put your hand on somebody's shoulder. If it's a complete stranger, perhaps best not to do that. But if you do know people and you want to gather round and you're comfortable, yeah? Yeah. Father, we know that as we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, that this is not some onerous task list that you're asking us to engage in. That you're not asking us to participate in something that's going to become a burden or a responsibility. But as you equip us and grow us in the knowledge and the power of who your Holy Spirit is, that the fruit of the Spirit would just be a demonstration to those around us of just how full we are of God's love. So I pray for each one of us that as we go out into whatever environment we find ourselves, whether it's a uni, college or the workplace or wherever we are at all, that as you work through us and in us with the fruit of your Spirit, that we would just, that people would just be visibly drawn to who we are. And they wouldn't just ask what we do, but they would ask why we do it. There would be something intriguing and compelling about our lifestyle that would just cause others to ask questions. So Father, go with us this week and cause us to lead lives that ask questions, that ask people, that will stop people thinking about what they're doing, that they'll be so taken up with what we're doing that they can't help but ask, why do you do that? There's something I've noticed about you, that in this situation you do that. In that situation, respond this way. Why are you so different? And I just pray for those opportunities to share Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tom.